School board has several open seats. The candidates are Destiny Sargent, Andy Story, Phyllis Carlson, Will, who is not here, and Michelle Johnston. Michelle, would you like to start with a one-minute introduction?
Sure. So my name is Michelle Johnston. I decided to run for school board because I have concerns regarding a lot of the budget issues and some of the issues that the school board has faced in the past couple of years. I have about a 15-year history of working with schools. I started in my children's classroom, 20 years ago, and then moved on to being on the PTA board. I spent many, many years on PTA board in Utah, served as a commissioner for the PTA boards for 3 years. When we moved to Alaska in 2005, I chose to send my children to a charter school in Ketchikan, where I sat on academic policy committee for 4 years, 3 years of which I was president. Moved to Juneau in December of 2010, when I took a state job with the Department of Commerce.
Thank you, Michelle. Phyllis?
Good evening, and thanks for this opportunity. My name is Phyllis Carlson. I'm a 35-year resident of Juneau. I'm the mother of two daughters who were raised in Juneau, two active daughters, I might add. And I'm asking to be reelected to the Board of Education because I'm dedicated to aligning what we say with what we do for all of our students. I'm interested in balancing our budget with our goals and our practices, and that we resource our strategic plan, which is our roadmap to where we want to go. I'm also interested in engaging our community and our parents for partnerships. As our budget continues to be challenged, we will need our community members and those resources more than ever. And I'm committed to public education, and I've been involved in education for two decades in this community. Thank you.
Andy?
My name is Andy Story. I'm a 26-year resident of Juneau. I'm a parent of three children and have always been active in their schools. I'm a wife to a local business owner and a 9-year school board member. I'm pleased to report that the high school graduation rates are up and there is an upward trend in student learning as measured by national standards. In the past 3 years, the school board has adopted new higher literacy and math standards, increased graduation requirements, and been deeply focused on supportive, effective instruction. I see the district at a tipping point for making significant gains in student achievement, and I'm very appreciative of the hard work of the staff. I am a 3-year elected member of the Board of Directors for the Alaska Associations of School Boards. I'm the co-founder of a statewide education advocacy group, Great Alaska Schools. I plan to continue to work with the people around the state to encourage the legislature to adopt an adequate and stable funding plan for schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Destiny?
Good evening. Thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Destiny Sargent. I'm a psychologist by trade. Now, I always tell people fondly, don't you hold that against me, all right, because I'm a real life person. And I served on the school board between 2007 and 2010, and I stopped at the time, not because my heart felt finished, but because I needed to help my children finish their high school career, my oldest. At this time, I feel refreshed after 2 years, and I'm willing to come back, knowing exactly what I'm asking for. I have been on boards before. My children have always attended the Juneau public school system. I still have a daughter at Floyd Dryden. I see many issues that we can continue to improve, and I'm thrilled that we've already made many improvements. I think it's important to know that there's no reason we cannot, as a capital, have a world-class education here in Juneau, in spite of budgets, and thank you for this opportunity. It's hard to see the flag. I'm sorry. I wasn't ignoring you.
No problem.
Everybody's so polite. Okay, Michelle, we're going to start with you with the first question. And again, you have 60 seconds to respond, and then each of you will have 45 seconds to respond for your response. If elected, what steps would you take to inform the legislature of the importance of school funding?
I think as a school board, we have to be very vocal. We have to express that the concern, particularly over the PTR ratios.
Could you spell that one out, PTR.
Oh, pupil-teacher ratio. The amount of children that we have in a classroom is at a critical point for the school district. And I think we need to be very vocal in communicating with our legislatures the situation that we're in.
Okay, thank you. Phyllis, again, if elected, what steps would you take to inform the legislature of the importance of school funding?
Well, in our board, we have a designated liaison, which is Ms. Story, and she communicates with AASB, the Alaska Association of School Boards, and they are our statewide advocate for educational issues, and these are our statewide issues, so I would be hoping that our board will continue and to work through AASB and also work with our local delegates. We, our Juno delegates, we inform them of district needs and CBJ.
Okay, thank you. Andy?
Oftentimes we start with meeting with our legislative delegation first and let them know what our concerns are. We have many times written letters to the co-chairs of the House Finance and House Education Committee. In fact, we start with testifying in front of House Education and then Senate Education. And I think the other important thing to do is we have our budget committees happening and we try and make parents aware of how they can contact their legislatures. I don't think that parents realize how much power they have in voicing their opinion up at the Capitol building, and that really tips things.
Thank you. Destiny?
I think it's really important to have sort of a multifaceted approach. One is working with the local legislatures, which we have traditionally done each year, working with the state because it's a statewide problem. And again, I also really think that the family and the people need to do even more coordinated efforts towards testifying. It's amazing, the power of the people really comes out when people come out and they do get heard. And I think it's a very, very important piece that I would really like to inspire families to do. A lot of times we feel disempowered somehow as people, and we don't feel, maybe not people in this room as much, but a lot of general public feel that they somehow don't, their vote doesn't matter, and I'm astounded when I hear that, because I think it's critically important. So I would go at it from all angles.
Thank you. Our next question is to, you know, I have this great system here. Let me think. So Phyllis, I asked you first, right? So Andy, or did I ask you first? So
I think you asked Ms.
Michelle.
You, Michelle. Okay, sorry. Phyllis, I'll get this. It's a great system. I just have to make it work right. Okay. So Phyllis, the question here is, what measures would you suggest to increase Juno's high school graduation rate, which I also would take to decrease the dropout rate, but we'll say to increase Juno's high school graduation rate?
Well, we've been always working toward that end, and many of our students are doing very, very well. And so we know not all of our students are in that high-risk category. And there's several practices and programs around our district that are being very successful. One is that we have to start very early. We have to start at the elementary level in our literacy. That's a high priority. And also the practices of professional learning communities with our teachers being working together to review the data of their students and improve their practices. And I think just, lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. At Floyd Dryden, they're doing some outstanding work around the 90-90-90 concepts and concentrating on math and literacy. Thank you.
Okay. Andy?
Yes, when we lose our students, it's mostly because they feel not connected at school. They don't have a relationship with a teacher, or they didn't get involved in an activity or a club, or seeing school as relevant to them. So I think it's important that we keep activities, we keep our relationship pieces going with our teachers. Reading by third grade is crucial. So interventions K-1-2 are really important. I would continue to fund those interventions. I would continue to fund the interventions that we do at the high school. We have kids who are not, since we have such good data now on student assessments, we know which kids are not on track for graduating. who have not passed a high school qualifying exam and they have extra math instruction or reading instruction, whatever they need, and I would continue to fund those.
Destiny?
I think it's also a multifaceted approach. Graduation rates aren't just about reading, writing, and arithmetic, although that's critically important. They're also about connection. They're about every child having a name. They're about having something that is a learning that matters to the student. And I think that families in Juneau have a lot of choices that many school districts don't. And sometimes more choices and more styles of teaching are very important also. It's also important that we know some of what our measurements mean. And graduation rate and dropout rate are not dual opposites. They are actually not the same statistic. So it is important to know, you know, which parameter we're talking about. And I know that it's crucial. The earlier we start, the more success we have. From Head Start on, we can't forget, because if you don't read before three, those students are likely to struggle the rest of their careers. So we need to start early.
Michelle?
I think it's very important as children learn that we recognize that children learn in different ways. I've been very pleased with the new sixth grade program that the school, that Floyd Dryden has been implementing. It's an E2020 program in which it's recognizing that children learn in different ways. And if we give them the foundation with the program, the Read by Three program, and they have the foundation going forward, and then we give them opportunities to learn in different ways rather than trying to teach everyone in the same way, in order to keep these students that are at risk fully engaged and connected, I think it'll contribute to a better success rate.
Thank you. Andy, would you support an annual student assembly meeting to review school policy about bullying and the consequences? Why or why not?
The district has a very strong anti-discrimination, anti-bullying policy at the district, and the high schools this fall are working on curriculum that they will be doing in the middle schools and the high schools. And so I see it as needing to a one-year. We have done some one-year things like Challenge Day, which is wonderful, but I think it needs to be more often than 1 year, and how we have it happening regularly in the classrooms and a part of the curriculum. Disease doing aggressive victims and bystanders training, they have that in the curriculum. And so I see it that, I guess I would say I feel that it needs to happen more often and that we are implementing it in those ways.
Thank you. Destiny?
I do support an assembly. A reminder is always good, but that's not nearly enough. It's very important to have it be the essence of the actual everyday existence at the school, that bullying is not tolerated, but more than that, what is tolerated? It's called communication, negotiation, respect for all. And I think that we need to offer sterling examples of that all the time in the halls and meet the students where they are and interrupt and intervene when it's necessary and early on before things get out of hand. And by the time kids are in high school, we've all seen it. We know how it is sometimes. And if you don't have an adult or somebody or a peer person even to help mediate, that things can easily get out of control very quickly. So it's both about reminding rules, but it's also about feeling a connection and knowing that peers can reach out to each other.
Michelle, do you want me to ask the question again? Do you?
Yes, please.
Would you support an annual student assembly meeting to review school policy about bullying and the consequences? Why or why not?
I agree with the other candidates that an assembly is a good idea as a reminder, but it's not enough, that we need to have it as a part of the continual curriculum throughout the year, and as well as maintain an absolute zero policy for bullying. I mean, we're all aware that we have bullying issues within the school district. Every school district does. We also have bullying issues on our buses that are possibly not adequately being addressed through the proper channels, whether it's lack of recognition or parents not speaking up about the bullying on the buses. And so I think one assembly is not enough. It needs to be a part of the curriculum.
Thank you. Phyllis?
I would
I would definitely support a day at an assembly because I think it's an extremely important issue. It's very influential in our school climates. And a few years back, some of you may remember, we had an incident in our community with some very overt racial issues. Mm-hmm. And we had a day of listening, and I was very instrumental in helping that to come about in our high school. And the students were very receptive to that. A follow-up to that was focus groups of students listening and talking. It raises their awareness. And I think the other thing that is really describes the need to me is in our recent school climate, it showed that our students are lowest in their peer-to-peer communication and support of each other. So yes, it's definitely needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Destiny, there's two questions in here that are pretty much the same. That's considering budgetary constraints as well as educational concerns, what do you believe is the optimum pupil to teacher ratio for Juno, and how would you work to achieve or maintain it?
Without a question, PTR is important. And I don't think, and I'll just go on record saying there's not anybody that I know of, because I know these women, and there's nobody that wants a larger PTR. However, PTR is a very fine balancing act. That's pupil-teacher ratio. What happens is that when there's a dollar dwindling or flat budget, frequently choices have to be made. It is always more important, all the research shows, that in the younger the classes, that's where the PTR is most important for the smallest numbers. That's not to say they're not all important, but there sometimes has to be a cost ratio. There's cause and effect, and when the budgets get to be difficult, you have to choose what gets given up versus the numbers. So it sounds cold, but those are the facts. And I do believe that we can keep them low-er, and that's the goal. They may not be as low as we'd like, but it is clear that research, I wouldn't debate over whether 26 or 28 would make a difference, because the quality of the teacher is exceedingly important in here also.
Michelle? PTR, now we all know PTR.
Pupil-teacher ratio. I think the research shows that ideally, in an ideal world, 28 for high school, mid-20s for middle school, and 18 for elementary schools. Whether that is a completely realistic number for our current budget situation, I don't think so. I think that we are looking realistically at numbers just higher than that. However, this is an issue that I draw a hard line on. I will not support increasing our current PTR under any circumstances. I understand that may cause an unpopular budgetary, cuts in other areas, but I think it's a crucial issue, and we simply cannot increase the number of children that we have in a classroom in this district.
Thank you. Phyllis?
Was that a two-part question?
No.
Okay.
Well, it was how would you work to maintain it, but we, which is, essentially intention, sounds like it.
Well, I think pupil-teacher ratio is very important. Logic and common sense tells you that. The fewer students you have in your class, the more opportunity you're going to have contact. That being said, we are not in a circumstance right now where we can meet our ideal PTR, and I think that one of the things that's happened over the first couple of terms that I had in the district, we were adding more teachers, and the last couple of years we've had to cut. We've cut 55 employees from our district just this past year, and each time we raise the PTR, it's worth about $1 million. So there's other things we can do with that resource to support classroom. Andy?
Hi, yes. In 08, when we were able to lower the PTR, we went from 22 to 1 to 21 to 1, and we were able to do that for several years, and just now we had to go up to 22 to 1 in K through 2, and from 24 to 1 to 25 to 1 and 3 through 5. And so $1,800,000 about is raising one teacher, so it is very expensive. I'd work up at the legislature to help get stable funding plan. I would have to say that effective instruction, Bill Gates And we're equating lower class size to having our kids learn the most. And while class size is important, effective instruction is the most important in-school factor to improve student achievement. And the district is working really hard to support teachers in their instruction.
Thank you. Michelle, this is an interesting question. And you answered Destiny, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
You did. Yeah. Michelle. Michelle, this is like Arabic, folks. This is really, it's working, kind of. So, Michelle, this is a national conversation now, so I'm going to include this question here. Are you familiar with the Healthy Lifestyles curriculum? And how do you, and do you support educating children about family diversity? For example, the LGBT community, in Juneau. There's a lot of LGBT families in Juneau. So the question is, are you familiar with the Healthy Lifestyles curriculum? And do you support educating children about family diversity?
I'm not familiar with the Healthy Lifestyles curriculum. It's simply not something that I'm familiar with. As far as educating, I think I would support limited conversation. I don't think that broad conversation regarding such subjects, particularly in lower elementary grades, would be appropriate.
Okay, thank you. Phyllis?
I don't know that I'm specifically informed about the Healthy Lifestyles curriculum, but we have health curriculum that has had a great review just a few years ago, very extensive vetting in our community. It's very comprehensive, and it talks about different family configurations and being accepting, and it's all part of, I think, creating healthy climates in our schools, and that's what I would support.
Thank you. Andy?
Yes, we did adopt that curriculum several years ago, and we did want to take into account parents' wishes about age-appropriate information that they felt their children should have, and so what the district did was put in an opt-out policy where family members need to be informed when talking about different types of families that we have, and if there's and that they knew that was taking place.
Dixie just corrected, it's supposed to be Healthy Life Skills curriculum, if that sounds more familiar to you. Destiny?
This does sound familiar to me, and I believe that the school district did adopt it several years ago. I think the question is age-appropriate always, age-appropriate discussions. All human beings deserve to be alive and live, and I'm not sure that in our day and age of a flat world, technologically wise, people know pretty much everything, and I think that the question becomes, as long as there's choices left for families, people know that values really begin at home. And so individual families can teach whatever values they like, and that things do get talked about at school. And I think that it's all part of learning and objectively the way it is. And that's not asking someone to change their belief systems. It's just saying what is.
Thank you. Phyllis, would you support a mandated course in civics and social studies to empower students to understand and participate in society and government? Please explain why or why not.
Well, again, I think in an ideal situation, if we had more funding, I would support that. Right now, I don't think I would want to add any more classes or requirements to our school. We do address those issues in a variety of ways, and through government and history courses, students are asked to participate and do community service, and we have student government. Students get a chance, and I think we have very active students in our student government bodies right now. They get statewide experience as well as working within the local schools. And so I think we do have a variety of ways to serve our community and learn about the importance of civic duty in our community.
Thank you. Andy?
Right now we require a year of American history and a half a credit of American government. We did have an audit of our civics education curriculum a few years ago. And what we really do need is to make sure we're implementing the curriculum with fidelity and doing all the things that we're supposed to do to provide a good civics education for our kids. We do have those things embedded in the curriculum. We have to make sure that they're happening.
Destiny?
I believe in the question you asked where I thought the course should be mandatory. Would you please repeat the question for me?
Sure. Would you support a mandated course in civics and social studies to empower students to understand and participate in society and government? Please explain why or why not.
Ideally, I would. I'm not sure the budget can handle it right now. But I do so much believe in civic responsibility and education that I would like to see it threaded in almost every other class. And I think that could be achieved. There are ways to do that and to teach it. Because one example here, as I look out even now, thank you for all you coming, but most of you are over 40, and I hope I'm not offending anyone. I don't see a whole lot of youth here, which I find incredibly sad, because that is, in fact, our future. And it's very sad to me that we don't have more active people. Civic responsibility is not only a responsibility of all of us, but it's also a right. It's a give and take in our society. It's about teaching us our responsibilities and how to do service and give back. So we need to thread that in.
Thank you. Michelle?
I agree with the other candidates that with our current budgetary constraints, I don't believe that it would be appropriate to mandate a new class or create it as part of a new curriculum, but that in conjunction with the government class, you know, that we already have, it could be incorporated. We could do more to incorporate it through our current classes and with the current curriculum.
Thank you. It seems like a lot of these questions have to do with lack of funds and wish lists, but here's another one. And this would be to Andy. How would you resolve the nurses' coverage for schools issue? And I'm assuming that means the lack of nurses' coverage or nurses doubling up. So, Andy, if you could just, we'll give you a couple of seconds to explain the issue first, and then your time will start as to answering the question. Maybe some people don't know what the nurses' coverage issue is.
Lost two school nurses last year. Our funding was cut in that area. And so currently four of our schools are sharing a nurse half day, and the other ones have a nurse full time with them. But four are sharing. It's the two middle schools, and it is River Bend and Thunder Mountain.
Okay, so now your time will start. How would you resolve the nurses' coverage for school issues?
Well, how it's been resolved is our nurses, to their credit, have been, they made the plan, identified some staff, had them go through three training modules, and then met with them, had personal training about how to work on issues when they were not in the building, and how to go through procedures, taking medicine and procedures if there was something that they couldn't handle. And so that's what we've been doing. This is a national issue, how to respond to nurses. I personally would like to see public health funding a nurse in our schools. I think it's very important. And our homes are on this, our schools are the size of some of our villages who all have a public health nurse. And so I think it's a very worthwhile thing for the state to be doing.
Destiny?
It's always a little sad when budget cuts happen and things like nurses have to temporarily, I hope, be slightly diminished. But I'm also really aware that this is where Juno is a very, I really believe, will come forth, even in terms of volunteers that can be trained, more parents to hang out. We have lots of very medically fragile children in schools now that even a decade ago may not have been in schools, and I don't want them to leave. I want them to stay. So consequently, I think that if the need is available, the people will rise up also and be willing to help. And if there are deficits, I think that there's lots of ways that people can be involved in Juno and have creative thinking and think outside the box. And hopefully, the nurses will come back very soon, as soon as the budget stabilizes.
Okay, Michelle?
When moving to Juneau, this school district has actually been the first school district that I've ever experienced who has school nurses in. I grew up in South Carolina. I lived in Utah for 18 years. And I was pleasantly surprised and pleased. I've been very pleased at the difference that I see in the nurses and having nurses in the school. And I think the key to keeping them in the school is increasing our community partnerships. We have to increase parent involvement. We have to develop some relationships in the community in order to keep the nursing and the level of help that we need there.
Thank you. Destiny, this is... Phyllis, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Not that I have much to add, but...
Nope, sorry. Go ahead.
This was a very big topic and very heartfelt by all of the Budget Committee this past year. It was incredible to hear some of the testimony from families who were fearful of what losing our nurses in our schools might mean to their child. And so we're very aware of it. And we have one or two schools, our middle schools, that are splitting a nurse currently. But we also have staff that have been trained to give medication and do certification and take training to be able to dispense medicine as needed. So it's not ideal, but it's there.
Okay, Andy? Did I ask you that one? Okay. My system is still working. So this is a big question. I'm going to skip the No Child Left Behind question because I think that's just a huge national discussion. So, Destiny, I think it's you. What is your highest priority for the school district to accomplish during your term in office? Explain why this change is a priority and how you would facilitate this change in 60 seconds.
For that.
I love your confidence in me.
Sure.
I believe that in spite of whatever the budget cuts are, the Juneau School District can still have a world-class education. And it may mean that we have to preserve what we have. Sometimes it means streamlining, go back to the basics. But the most important thing, I believe, is continuing to raise expectations. That means the unconscious ones, that every child has a name and is expected the very most of when they walk through the door. I also believe that IT is incredibly important. Technology has to be kept up, and old age is not an excuse, all right? Because our children today are being trained and educated for a world which we were not part of, in most of us, with the exception of me, because I kept up with it in spite of the gray hair. But a whole lot of people use the excuse and they don't, and I don't think that's a good excuse. I think that we have to keep up with that. To do all of that, in my 10 seconds left, I think that it's very important to use programs that are tried and true, divvy up the money in a fair manner, be willing to take some risks, ask for creative thinking outside the box, and make sure that we pay attention that our money is being utilized effectively.
All right. Michelle.
I would say my first focus would be on the PTR, making sure that we do not increase the PTR. I think second, we need to open communication. I think often I've heard from the teaching staff that the teaching staff doesn't feel heard. They don't feel like they have a voice. And so I think we need to focus on opening the communication between administration, the school board, and the teachers. And third is focusing on IT, making sure that as we have such a technological focused world, that our teachers have the tools that they need to be able to teach and keep up with that.
Thank you. Phyllis?
My highest priority would be making sure that each and every child gains a minimum of 1 year's growth in their academic pursuits. And this would be done in a variety of ways. Foremost in that, of course, would be professional development and our professional learning communities and using data around each every student, intervening early with students who are struggling. And we have a system called the MAPS where we measure students on a frequent basis, our teachers do, so that they can tell who's progressing and where they're where they are at any given point in time. And so and I agree that using our technology is helpful.
Thank you. Andy?
Student learning is definitely my highest priority, and so that's supporting teachers and administrators in effective instruction. So that would be teacher and principal training. It would be the instructional materials, making sure teachers have the resources that they need. It would be sure that they got a supportive evaluation and supervision. It would be having an assessment system that we do have, so we can look at students' learning needs in real time, and teachers can adapt their instructional practices to that. It would be making sure that our parents knew what they could do to help out their child at home. It would be keeping our professional learning communities going.
Thank you very much. And there were some great questions here that we just didn't get to about the value of arts and music. And I think what we heard is a very sad response about budgets every time we brought something like that up. So thank you very much. You each now have 30 seconds to make a closing statement. And Michelle, we'll start with you.
Well, I am very committed. I'm very dedicated to public education. I am very concerned about the focus of the school board, about the budget issues that we're facing, I'm just committed to working. I feel like I have the business background to be able to help and to make decisions, and I just want to make sure that we have strong leadership as we go forward.
Thank you. Phyllis?
Well, I have been dedicating a lot of my time to improving our Juneau school districts and opportunities for our youth for two decades at least in our community. And I think we're making progress. We have a ways to go. We're not there yet. Times are challenging. But I think that we have a system in place right now that I feel very confident that we can better serve our students and our community. And I bring a strong advocacy, a deep understanding, and a broad experiences with community connections. Thank you.
Thank you. Andy?
I've spent most of my adult life working to improve the quality of education for all of our children. I really would continue to work statewide with people in the legislature to ensure adequate and stable funding plans for schools. I want our schools to offer a well-rounded curriculum with lots of options to meet the variety of needs that our children have, and it's going to take us working together to have that happen. I really have to say that all children reading by third grade and each children making at least 1 year of progress is one of my priorities.
Destiny?
I'm very proud of Juneau, and I'd like to see Juneau still continue to have world-class education and continue to improve. I would very much like to serve on the board again because we were off to a great start, and in spite of budgets, I still believe in us. I still believe that our children can succeed and that we can be a world-class school. I think it's very important to know that I personally have worked for 19 years within our school district at all levels, starting with parent groups, and I don't plan to stop. And I think it's very important that we work together, build partnerships, and continue researching and making good choices. So I'll thoughtfully listen to all sides and would love to serve the families and children of Juneau.
Well, on behalf of Juneau, I want to thank you for doing this. And I know that it is an amazing time commitment to be on the school board. So I'd like to applaud you. And if we could have the candidates for City Assembly, please.